You know, if you realized that you were studying the Word of God because it was going to be your time of peace and your time of refreshing, you know, if you looked at it like that, you know what, this is my time alone with the Lord. I'm about to be refreshed. God is going to give me peace through His Word. And if you were thinking about it like that, you would feel so much more excited about going to God's Word. You know, another thing that is a great idea is to make a list of the areas in your life that you need to work on. You know, make a list of all the areas in your life you need to work on: finances, stress, marriage, whatever it is, and then start studying those areas specifically. And this is something that'll help you to stay more focused on being in the Word, is when you actually have something specific that you're studying. You know, I'm looking for an answer to, you know, my finances. You know, for some reason our finances just haven't been working out. I'm not talking about myself personally. I'm just saying, if this is something that, a challenge that you were having, or, you know, stress or depression, you know, I want to know all that God has to say about depression. I'm going to study this. I'm going to find out what He has to say about joy and all these different things in His Word. And when you're able to focus in on one thing, sometimes for a lot of people that makes a huge difference. It helps them to focus in a lot. It makes the Bible a lot more practical and a lot more real. I'm sorry, I was reading a question that someone had just typed in. Okay, sorry, I got a little bit distracted. See, distractions can distract you from studying the Word of God too, and from teaching. Okay, Amira, focus. Do one thing at one time. Those of you who know me know that in the past I've had issues trying to do multiple things at one time because my plate runneth over. But praise the Lord, that's okay. But one thing that I just really want to stress is don't allow the Bible to turn into a rule book. I really don't want you to allow the Bible to turn into a rule book. I want, and this is not just what I want, but really God wants it to be a love letter. You know, that's really what He's written it as. He's written it as a love letter. He's written it as a way for you to, you know, it's a book of promises. It's a book of provision. It's a book of His compassion for you and His provision for you. And if we look at it as just a rule book, we're really missing out on the entire heart with which it was written. You know, with your Bible study, don't try to, you know, you don't have to try to get all theological with your Bible studies. It's not about theology, okay? It's about relationship, not memorization. And another thing that I really had to work on is I had to make sure that I didn't allow reading my Bible to just be something else that I needed to check off my list. I needed to be purpose-driven in my study. You know, what was my purpose? My purpose was to develop intimacy with God. My purpose was to find out the things that He said to me and learn more about Him and learn more about who He said that I was and the promises that He had made to me. I wanted to be purpose-driven in my study. And many times we don't know why we're studying, and so therefore studying starts to just not seem as interesting. You know, once you answer the question, how do I want my life to change? Once you answer that question for yourself, you know, I want to ask you that question, how do I want my life to change? And then begin to look through the Bible and determine in your heart that you're going to use the wisdom of God, use the wisdom and the things that He's put in the Bible to change your life. You know, you ask yourself, I'm going to say that again, ask yourself, how do you want your life to change? And then once you decide that, make a determined, you know, make a promise to yourself that you're going to use the wisdom in the Bible to change it, and then start looking through God's Word to be your answer. Because that's really what it is. It's an answer. It's an answer to what, Sister Mira? It's an answer to every question that's on your heart right now. It's an answer. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. It's not something else I need to do. It's an answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. We're going to go on to the next question. And I actually reordered the questions. So if you're reading off of your note sheet, I ended up making number five, making the last two questions, I flipped them, okay? So I'm doing breaking through the wall right now. We know what to do, and we were just talking about this, we know what to do, pray, read the word, and spend time with God. Yet there is something that keeps us from doing it. The things that I really thought I could do and have a real desire to do keep getting harder and more far-reached. How do we break free from the chains hindering our growth and stopping us from spending more time with God? You know, this is a really good question. This is a really, really good question. And, you know, I'm going to start off this question by reading a scripture. And it's a very well-known scripture, and so I'm just going to read it really quickly. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that ye may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. You know, I love reading this. I read Ephesians 6, 10, and 11 out of the Amplified Version. I love reading the scripture in the Amplified Version because I love how it says, be empowered through your union with Him. It says, be strong in the Lord, and then it says, be empowered through your union with Him. Union. What does that get back to? Relationship. That gets back to relationship, just like we were just talking about. It gets back to relationship. You know, we're empowered to break through those walls. You know, sometimes it's almost like there's just this wall standing between you and God. And many times it's just a paper wall. And it's just there to intimidate you. You know, you punch through it once, it's going to tear just like paper. But when you look at it, it looks intimidating. It feels like you can't break through. You know, runners talk about that a lot of times. You know, you're running and you're running and you're running. People who do races, you know, the Olympics are coming up. A lot of those runners talk about they're running and they're running, and they feel like they, you know, every runner hits a wall at some point, and that's the feeling where you just feel like you can't go any further, like you're just going to, you just have to stop, you have to stop, you have to stop. But they say if you keep running through that wall, if you run through that wall, you'll realize that it was just a mirage, and you'll get a second wind, and you'll be able to just keep on running. So I love that as an analogy, because many times the wall that you feel like is you just can't break through, it's a mirage, it's an illusion. It's, you know, I love this scripture too, because it says you'll be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. You know, many things that seem so real to us are really just Satan's deception. They're not even real at all. You know, Satan doesn't want us to do the things of God. He wants us to be so distracted with the things of this world that we don't think we have the time to study or pray. He knows that if he can keep us from seeking God, he can keep us powerless. Powerless against his other attacks, and powerless to reach out and touch the world in the name of Christ. You know, and that's really one of the reasons that he fights so hard to keep us from praying. You know, I think we all hit that point where we just hit that wall and we feel like we can't break through. But we have to realize that it's just a feeling. We can break through. You know, no matter how much it feels like it hurts, you know, I've been to the point where I was crying out to God, and it almost, I mean, it just felt like it was, it almost felt like physical pain, like it was so hard to worship, because it just felt like something inside of me was just, you know, crying out in pain, like, no, stop worshiping, stop praying, no. And, you know, I had to do it anyway. No matter, you know, many people think that when they see people at church and they're worshiping, oh, those people can't help but to worship. No, I'm one of the key people who are always up in the front of the church worshiping, and sometimes I don't want to. Actually, a lot of the times, when I start off worshiping, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. But I do it anyway, because he's still worthy. regardless of how I feel today, I know that he's still worthy. Regardless of what's going on in my life, I know that he's still worthy. So I'm going to worship him anyways. And I'm going to do it so Satan will know that I know that he's still worthy, that God's still on the throne. And, you know, sometimes you just have to take a stand and say, I'm just going to fight, even though it hurts. I'll just do it in pain then. If I have to do it while it hurts, then I have to do it while it hurts, but it's going to get done. And, you know, we have to start getting that warrior mindset. You know, when we were reading Ephesians 6, it says, put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier. And we really have to be, you know, we have to begin to have that warrior mentality. We have to realize that it is a war going on. It's a war going on even with ourselves. You know, even with me, even with you, Satan doesn't want you to have an intimate relationship with God. He is literally fighting against you developing that relationship. And so it's not in your mind, okay? It's not your imagination. It really is an actual battle. But, you know, we also have to recognize that everything isn't just the devil's fault. You know, some Christians, they blame everything on the devil, okay? Everything's not just his fault. Many times, we fill our lives with so much busyness, with just so many different things to do, that we crowd God out. You know, we're so busy doing things many times that he never really called us to do. You know, we're on committees that he never told us to get on. Why are we doing all these different things? You know, we have this whole list of things that we feel like we have to do. Why? Because many of us are still trying to earn our salvation. We're still trying to prove that we're good enough. We feel like we have something to prove to man. And so we constantly take on all of these different things that God never told us to do. Now, if God said be on the committee, then praise the Lord. You get on that committee and you do it to the glory of God. But many times, we are doing so many different things because we feel pressure from man to do things. And we do all these things when we fill our schedule without asking God what he intends for our schedule, without asking him what he would like for us to do with our day. And so what we've done is we've crowded him out. And so that's one of the reasons that people have challenges really connecting with God, is because they feel like they're running around. You know, have you ever seen those a hamster on the little wheel, and they run on the wheel, and they run on the wheel? You know, they're running and running, but they're not getting anywhere. And many times we feel like we're that hamster on that wheel, and it's because we never slowed down enough to ask God to pray over our schedule and say, Lord, is this really you, or is this just me trying to please man, trying to be everything to everybody? You know, that's something that I really had to deal with myself because, you know, with my personal personality, you know, everybody has different personality types. One of my personality traits is that I just like to do stuff and I like to be involved in things. And, you know, I like to be the head of every committee and do all of these different things. And, you know, so people a lot of times will ask me to be involved in a lot of different things. And I always felt like, you know, as a good Christian, I should do, you know, I should be on every committee and do everything that the, you know, that people suggest that I do, because if I say no, then I'm being a bad Christian. And God had to show me, no, if you do it and I didn't tell you to do it, you're being a bad Christian. And so that really was something that woke me up. Another issue is that we also have walls that we've built up ourselves. You know, most of us have built up walls throughout our lives that can stop us from really reaching out to God. You know, people talk about that, about different people having, you know, they just have so many walls up. You know, she's just really had a bad time with different people. You know, she has a hard time trusting people. So those same walls that we've built up that hinder our relationship with other people, they also can hinder our relationship with God. You know, sometimes we have a hard time trusting God, and we have a hard time trusting that he's really there. We have a hard time trusting that he won't desert us or that he won't reject us, so we shy away from his presence. And a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it, but we begin to shy away from his presence. But, you know, Romans 10 and 11 says that no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him will ever be put to shame or disappointed. And you know, that's something I had to stand on for a long time because I was always afraid that God was going to let me down. And so I really had a hard time trusting him because I was always kind of waiting for him to fail. And so I had to learn, you know, God just showed me that scripture one day. And I began to stand on that scripture, you know. He said that he wouldn't shame me or disappoint me, that I could step out and do what he told me to do, and he wouldn't let me be put to shame. And, you know, I had to stand on that for so many different things. I mean, I had to stand on that even to start the hymn Bible studies, you know, because I'm putting myself out there, and I'm putting my face out there, and my voice, and, you know. And, you know, everyone just has that little person inside of them. Well, what if they make fun of me? What if they don't like what I say? And, you know, I'm human, and I had those same feelings, you know. And so I had to stand on the scripture and say, you know, God said that if I trust him, that I would never be put to shame or disappointed. And so that's something that helped me to have faith and be able to stand and believe him. Because many times, one of the reasons that we don't seek him as much is because in the back of our minds, we just kind of feel disconnected from him. We kind of, we trust him, but only to a certain extent. Only to a certain extent. You know, I trust him, but I don't trust him enough to give him my entire schedule. I mean, what if I don't hear him right? And then it messes up my schedule because I don't hear him right. Well, you trust him, but you don't think that he'll protect you if you make an honest mistake in faith. You know, he loves you enough that if you make a mistake, but you made it because you were trying to follow him, that he'll protect you. You know what? You're not going to be put to shame. You won't be disappointed because you'll be believing and trusting in him. Hallelujah. You know, other things that cause us to build up walls with the Lord, hidden guilt for past and present sins. You know, that's a big one. Many people build up huge walls between them and the Lord because of sins that they've committed in the past or sins that they're still struggling with. You know, we know in our hearts that we should do something, but there's almost like a fear or anxiety that comes over us. You know, we know that we should do something, but we just feel this anxiety and this fear. And deep in our hearts, we have some hidden things in our hearts that we don't want to deal with. You know, these are all just different ways, different reasons that we begin to hide from God. You know, one of the reasons, like I said before, is maybe God told us to do something and we didn't do it. We know in our heart we're supposed to do it, but we just feel this anxiety and this fear when we're too afraid to do it. You know, when we don't follow what God tells us to do, we're sinning. We're not following what he tells us to do, whether it's through the Holy Spirit or through the Bible. We're still not doing what he tells us. And so that's actually a type of sin, you know, that begins to make us hide from the Lord because we feel like, oh, you know, we just feel uncomfortable in his presence because we feel like the things that he's telling us to do are outside of our comfort zone. And so instead of doing it, or instead of telling him that we're uncomfortable, we just kind of pull back and we kind of shy away. Let's see, I had a couple more things I was going to say about that, but one last thing that I did want to say about that in terms of sin and people hiding from God because of sin. An amazing scripture that one of the scriptures that I love and that, you know, we've heard so many times, but a lot of times we don't stop and think about it, is John 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we forget that. God did not send Jesus into the world in order to condemn it, in order to judge it, in order to reject it. But many times we feel as if we're not perfect, that that's what's going to happen. But that's not why God sent Jesus into the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to go back to the question before that. Remember I said I had moved the questions around. So if you're following the notes, I'm going to do the reaching for the hymn question last, which is the question that I want to do now. And then Joanna from Tampa actually asked a question, so I'm going to answer her question in a second. She just typed the question in. If you have a question, I may have like one or two minutes to answer some questions before we close. Let's see, we have 8 minutes, so depends on how quickly I get through this last question. Reaching for the hymn. I feel a strong urge to draw closer to God and find my place in Him now more than ever, but where do I start? You know what? That's exactly where you start. You start by asking, where do I start? You start by praying to the Lord, Lord, where do I start? I'm just going to read a scripture. I'm going to read Jeremiah 29 and 12 through 14. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. As I said, that was Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. You know, I love the way it says, you will require me as a vital necessity. And that's what we've been talking about today. Getting to the point where we realize that we require God as a vital necessity in our lives. And he said, when we search for him with our whole heart, we'll find him. You know, many Christians are searching for God, but they're doing it in a very half-hearted way. And a very, you know, if I have time for him, you know, I'll kind of squeeze him into this little part of my week. You know, he has Sunday morning, and maybe I'll listen to some Christian radio somewhere in there, but, you know, that's kind of the extent. You know, many people, they don't seek him with their whole heart. It's a very half-hearted thing. And I'm just going to kind of give a few ideas, but what I actually did is that, as many of you guys know, the School of the Spirit is doing our grand opening on September 11th. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm so excited. Can you tell? We've actually, if you were a part of the Reaching for the Hymn conference that we had back a few months ago, then there was a private invitation to the people who are a part of the conference. So we do have a very small group of about 30 people who are in the school right now and are taking advantage of the different things in there. But we won't be actually having our official grand opening until September 11th, and I'm excited about it because the people who are actually in the school now are being blessed so much more than I actually thought was going to happen, so I am really excited about it. But as part of our grand opening celebration, I actually started a blog, and in the blog I did a video that kind of deals with this last question of where do you start? What are some things that you can do to begin to deepen your relationship with God? Just some practical things, things that I've done personally and that I think that will be a blessing to you. And so the video, if you're on the actual webcast, then you can click the little link that says, I think it says, it's like a little button on the webcast page, and I think it says watch video lesson or something like that. Don't click it now because I don't want you to leave this page yet. But once the class is over, you can actually click that, and it'll take you over to the blog. And I have a quick little welcoming message from me, and then I have the video lesson on there. So the webpage for that is blog.schoolofthespirit.org. That's blog.schoolofthespirit.org. And that is, remember, School of the Spirit is hyphenated, and that'll take you to the page that has the video that I made with just some different ideas of different things that you can do to help you to make time for God and just really show you where to get started. You know, what are some practical things that you can do in your daily life to experience more of God in your day-to-day life? Let's see. Let's take one of these questions. We have about 4 more minutes, so I'm going to try to answer these last 2 questions that were sent in. Let's see. What if you have problems scheduling a routine with praying and reading the Bible? How can you feel this is not a struggle? Why do we have roller coasters with prayer and fasting? Is it because we are not reading the Bible daily? You know, that's a really good question. We talked a little bit about that. But as I said before, one of the reasons that we feel like we're struggling is because we're not in our Bible and we're not praying regularly. And we really have to force ourselves to just press on. You know, I remember my very first church that I ever went to, I remember the mother of the church telling a story about how she knew a man, and, you know, every time he would try to pray, he would fall asleep. And, you know, it was just like the spirit. Every time he would try to pray, he would just fall asleep every single time. So he got to the point where he would stand up in the bathtub. And that's where he would pray, because he knew that he would be able to stay awake. And if it took him 2 hours to get through a prayer, then it would take him 2 hours to get through a prayer. But, you know, that's getting back to that warrior mentality. It's making that decision that you're going to continue to press through until you get that breakthrough. The part of the question was, how can you feel this is not a struggle? Even what we have to do is kind of get past the point of feeling that it's not a struggle. You know, even if you feel like it is a struggle, just go ahead and keep pressing. Because you know what? You have to press through the part where you feel like it is a struggle in order for you to get to the point where you don't feel like there is a struggle, if that makes sense. Another question. I've heard that it's not good to pray out loud because the enemy can hear your prayers, because the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. I think that this has affected my prayer life, even in my childhood. Why do they seem to make the enemy look so big? Or was he not defeated by Jesus? I think sometimes they tell us too many stories about the enemy, and they sink in more than the positive of God. How can you break that mentality of fear? You know, that is such a good question, and I actually talked about this in a lesson that I did a couple weeks ago. Many times we give Satan way too much credit. You know, greater is he, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When they're talking about he that is in the world, they're talking about Satan. You know, he's the prince of this world, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And many times we do give Satan way too much credit. And one of the things that helped me, because I had a similar challenge with this, one of the things that helped me with this was to begin really going through the Bible and pulling out scriptures that had to do with the strength and power of God and God triumphing over his enemies and things like that, and begin to fill my mind with that instead of all of these ideas these little mousy Christian ideas. I don't mean to say that in a disrespectful way. I hope no one's disrespected by that, or offended by that. But you know, there are a lot of times these little mousy Christian ideas that, you know, we're just little and Satan's just going to come around as this big lion and just go and just stomp on it, all of our heads or something. And you know, does he want to do that? Yes, but you know, the Bible does say he's a lion, but he's a toothless lion, glory to God. And so all he's going to do is roar. But Jesus, the Bible says that he triumphed over them on the cross. He triumphed over them on the cross. As you said, we've already won. We've already won that battle through Jesus. And so we have to begin to see our battles as already won and to realize that the way that we win is that we plug into God, is that we spend more time with him, and that we dig more into him. You know, in terms of reading or saying your prayers out loud, I write my prayers down, so I know not only can he hear them, he can go back through and read them later on if he wants to. I don't care, because God's bigger than him. And so it doesn't matter if he knows what I want, because my God knows what I want too. And I trust more in the strength of my God than the strength of that little toothless lion. Okay? And I don't say that in a demeaning way to anyone who's ever, you know, learned those types of things. But I think we have to begin to focus more on, you know, what does the Bible focus on? You know, when we look in the New Testament, we see all of the miracles. We see all of the demons that were cast out. We see all of the victories over the enemy. And so that's what God's focusing on. He's focusing on the fact that we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. Okay? And so that's what we want to focus on. Those are the thoughts that are of God. And so Satan wants us to feel small in his presence so that he can walk all over us. And, you know, that he could only do that if we allow him to. And so I'm not going to go into too much more of that, because I'm actually going to be doing a lesson on spiritual warfare in the near future for the School of Spirit. So I'll probably save most of that for that lesson, especially being that I'm a minute over of our 1 hour class today. So everyone knows that I love to talk, so I'm going to stop talking right now. But Well, I hope that everyone enjoyed the class today. I hope that everyone was blessed. I'm not going to take up any more than the time that I promised you guys that I would take. So we're just going to go ahead and close. As I said, if you would like to watch that video, I would love to know what you think of the video. There's actually a comment section, so you can actually leave comments and tell me what you think about the video. And the blog web address is blog.schoolofthespirit.org, and of course School of the Spirit is hyphenated, so you can just go there and watch the video. So with all of that said, I pray that God will definitely continue to mold you and shape you into his very own masterpiece, that he will speak to you and guide you and just love on you and just remind you of how much he does love you. You know, he has a special plan for your life, and he has a special plan of things that he wants to do through you. And I believe that part of that plan is that in order for you to fulfill that plan, you really do have to continue on your journey into growing in him. And so I really pray that this class can be a part of that. And if you were blessed by the class, of course, you can go to feedback.schoolofthespirit.org. That's feedback.schoolofthespirit.org, and just tell me what you liked about the class. So with all of that, I will... let's do our closing prayer really quick. I'm sorry. I know I'm over. Okay. Lord, we come before you. We praise you and we glorify you and we thank you for this time together. We ask that you will continue to work on us, Lord. We know that we are all works in progress, and so we open ourselves up to you, Lord. We thank you for the brain surgery that you're doing on each of us, Lord. We know that you are just inside of our brains, renewing them and transforming them making them be in line with your word. And so we surrender ourselves. We surrender ourselves totally to you, and we receive your fullness, your joy, your peace, your love, Lord, today. And we ask that you will be with all of us and show us your love in a special way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And I will see you all in 2 weeks. God bless.